Okay. So, you know, what God has laid on my heart to speak about tonight, I titled it Falling in Love. And mainly because from what God has shown me, my depiction of love was completely different from what he has shown me in my process. So that's what he has placed on my heart to speak on tonight. And I just want you to keep in mind that although I use I and I say me and I say, you know, what I've done and what I did, that this is not about me. So so I want to start out with just a short reflection of who I was at a point in time in my life. And this was a point in time when I was much younger. I'm sure you all have heard me talk about, you know, when I was little and I was growing up and some of the issues I had with my attitude and I was angry, basically. And it actually took the Lord sending someone to tell me that I was angry, because me, personally, myself, I didn't know. I had no clue. And even when the person came to me and told me that God said I was angry, I still had no clue. I said, actually, that I was having a very good day. And up until now, I wasn't mad or angry about anything. Up until that point, that is. So, but, you know, I later accepted that and could very much see what God was trying to tell me on that day. So just to kind of give a short reflection, when I was very young, I felt that I was betrayed, and that led to me being angry, bitter. I learned later, once I had my first child, that I was also selfish, and I was skeptical of people. I was always skeptical of people, and part of that probably came from some of the television shows and things that I was watching. And I was very suspicious of people, so I didn't trust anybody. And then something else was that I was very thoughtless. I didn't really care. I didn't care if your feelings were hurt. I didn't care if you did it or didn't do it. I didn't care if you came or didn't come. You know, you go, you come, whatever. Hey, bye. It didn't matter to me. And I was unemotional. I didn't show any emotions, pretty much at all. So that soon changed, I have to say. I mean, God has helped me, you know, show a lot of emotion, cry a lot of tears. So later in life, I felt that God began to pull on me, and I say that simply because I got to a point in my life where I chose God, and that was my desire. That was my whole desire, was I just wanted to grow closer to God. If somebody asked me, where do you see yourself in 5 years? What's your goals? What do you want to do? I want to grow closer to God. That's where I saw myself in 5 years. Now, really and truly, to be honest, I didn't know where that was coming from. I knew that that was something I wanted to do, most definitely. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what was required of me to do it. But I knew that that was something I wanted to do. And that's why I know that it was coming from God, that he was drawing me in, because it wasn't as if something happened where I said, I got to go to God. No, it's just all of a sudden, I just had that desire, and that's what I wanted for my life. I wanted to grow closer to him, because I knew that things in my life at that point in time, they just weren't lining up. Nothing was really working right, and I was so very unhappy, very unhappy. So, like I said, I chose God, and I began to reach out and pray and ask God to, send me someplace, I want to say be planted, but I know I wasn't using words like that back then, but send me a church, send me someplace where I can go, where I can grow closer to him, and where I can, you know, just grow. And I don't think I even used the word flourish back then, because I wasn't familiar with any of those words, but I did know that I wanted to grow closer to him, and I just needed him to send me someplace where I could go. Because during that, at that point in time in my life, I was doing what you call church hopping. I was hopping from church to church, like every Sunday or every other Sunday, or Sunday every other month, I go to a different church. And then something just, I don't know if it was conviction or what it was, but I just, something felt like that ain't right. You don't do that. You can't just keep hopping around, going to different places. Like, how are you ever going to get anything that way? Soon as you felt like I was getting anything, I was going someplace else, or I didn't want to go back to that church. And then I just never felt connected at those churches. And I don't know how many churches we went to. I can't even count. It was a lot. But we never joined any of them. Not one. We would go consistently for about a month, or 2 months even, but we never joined. So, like I said, I began to pray, and God sent us to Ayers, and you know, through prayer, once we came to Ayers, and began to, God began to feed us, and when I say us, I'm talking about my family and the rest of the members here at the church, but my family is pretty much who I'm talking about here. And we began to get the word of God. We began to learn what it meant to have the word of God, and that you had to read your Bible for the word of God. You know, the word of God was going to church on Sunday. Got to go to church, get the word of God. No, read your Bible. Read your Bible is what they told me. And I said, oh, okay. So in the midst of that, I began reading, and God began to show me who I was. He began to show me. And that's where the tears came, because I didn't like who I saw. I didn't like who God showed me I was. I didn't want to be that person. Now, on the outside, a person knowing me may not have felt that I was any of those things. They may not have felt that I was bitter. I knew I was bitter. Now, my face may have told somebody, ooh, she looked like she mad. Yeah, I was mad at them too, because I was mad at everybody. I didn't care about nobody. I mean, and y'all, I had gotten to a point, I had children. And that's not to say I didn't care about my children, because I cared deeply about my children, but I knew that I was not loving them in the way that God wanted me to love them. I didn't love anybody in that sense, because I knew that the love that God has, I didn't have that. I could love you on the surface. Hey, how you doing? Love you. You know, yeah, it was just a word, you know. I could say it. Actually, I couldn't say it. I'll be honest. I couldn't even say it. I couldn't say it. It wasn't even something I could say. But I began to read. And like I said, during this time, I'm praying and I'm asking God to make me a better person. Going to him and just asking him to make me a better person, and just to help me to understand this life that I've chosen. Help me to understand this walk that I've chosen. Strengthen me. Give me the courage. You know, I didn't want to be ashamed. I didn't want to be ashamed of who I was and what I wanted through God. I needed him to give me that spirit of boldness, so that when I go to church on Sunday, I'm not afraid to lift my hands. You know, I'm not afraid to praise him and to worship him. But really, at that point in time in my life, I didn't even know that that's what that was. I just knew that something didn't feel right. And I would go to church, and of course, I didn't lift my hands. I didn't praise him and I didn't worship him, but I was there and I could feel something wasn't right. So I, like I said, I began to pray and ask him to help me, help change me. And I just want to play this song real quick. And this is a song right now that just speaks to my heart. So I just want to play this.
Change me, oh God. Make me more like you. Change me, oh God. Wash me through and through. Create in me a clean. Worship you, change me, oh God, make me more. Wash me through and through. Just create in me a clean. Worship you. I need you to
change me.
Jesus, change.
Change me.
Like only you can, Lord. Change.
Change me.
Is anybody out there need the Lord to change something about you? Change.
Change me.
Whatever's not like you, Lord, I want you to
change me.
Do it for me.
Thank you, Lord God. So, you know, I don't believe that song has been out very long, but when I heard it, it really spoke to my heart. And the things that I had been asking God to do in my life, I am so sorry. Okay, sorry about that. So, like I said, I have been praying and asking God to just help me to be more like him. Give me his heart. Give me his thoughts. Help me to change the thoughts that were in my mind, because that was another thing that was really bothering me, were the thoughts. And it's hard to move away from your past when you have the enemy just constantly reminding you and telling you who you are. This is who you are. So I'm constantly asking God to change the person that I am. So like I said, I began to read the Bible. And I have to say that when I first began to read, I was so caught up in drama and the TV shows and things that I was watching. That's what really had my attention. And I remember one of the shows being Atlanta Housewives. And I could spend hours talking to a person about Atlanta Housewives and what was happening, what was going on, and who was doing what. And I would watch that show, and I would look for something to happen, like what was going to happen this week. Somebody going to get slapped. Somebody gonna get cussed out. You know, I was there because I wanted to see, because I wasn't doing any of that anymore. I was asking God to change me. I had separated myself from that lifestyle, but I got it through television. I had to watch it on TV. I had to watch that Atlanta Housewives because I knew that they were going to give me that drama, and I could speak to the TV and I could say, she should have did it like this, or she should have done that. So I would feel that, And like I said, I could have conversation with people and we could talk for hours. And then one day it hit me. You don't do that with reading your Bible. You don't get into the stories like that reading the Bible. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to watch Atlanta Housewives anymore. That was absolutely true. Absolutely true. And I'm like, something is not right about this. So I was saying, okay. I was really dedicating a lot of my time to Atlanta Housewives. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to start reading my Bible. So I started reading. Excuse me. And sure enough, I was looking for drama. I was just looking for drama. Every story I read in the Bible, I was looking for the drama. I started at the very beginning where it talked about God. It talked about how he created the earth and the universe and everything. And I'm like, when is that woman going to eat that fruit? I want to see what's going to happen when she eat that fruit. You know, I want to read that. That's what I want to read about. So anyway, I began reading, and something that I just want to point out that did stand out to me when I read the Bible, and I'm going to start with Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. And he said, chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate, and also gave her husband with her. I'm sorry, also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate it. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate it. So with that, as I read that story and saw how that all happened and transpired, I began to feel like they betrayed the Lord, because he asked them not to do one thing. Someone else came along and convinced them to do it, and they did it so easily. And then they were going to hide. And that to me is where betrayal comes in, because you do something to someone that you're not supposed to do, and then you want to run and hide like you haven't done anything wrong. You know? So I thought, wow. And so after reading that, Genesis 3:20 goes on to say, and Adam called his wife's name, Eve, because she was the mother of all living things. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. They betrayed him, and he clothed them because they knew they were naked. You know, there was much more that happened that God dictated in that, but at the same time, he clothed them. And I thought, he didn't have to do that, but he did, because they were naked. They were running around hiding because they was naked, you know. But he gave them clothes so they didn't have to live like that. So through this story, you know, I see love. I see God's love for us. You know, I feel like they betrayed him when they ate the fruit, did what he asked them not to do. And then I get to the story of David. So I want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 20. And still, like I said, when I began to read, I was looking for drama. I would read 1 Samuel, and the Holy Spirit told me to go back and read it again. Then I began reading, and I remember I saw Hannah. Then I was focusing on Samuel. I was just looking for drama. And I read the whole story. Felt like I was done, but the Holy Spirit told me to go back and read it again. So I go back and read it again. I'm like, oh, well, I guess I missed something. I got to go back and read this again. So I go back and read it again. And I know it was about the fourth time that I was reading the story. And I began to focus on David. And when I began to focus on David, I began to understand what the Lord wanted me to see and why he kept bringing me back so many times to read it again. And I promise y'all, when I read this 1, 2, 3 times, maybe even 4 times, I didn't get it. I didn't see this. But as, like I said, the Holy Spirit kept bringing me back and telling, and I would read it, and then I'd be like, I need to read that again. I need to read that again. And I kept going back and reading it again. So the 4th or 5th time of reading it is when it hit me. And I just want to point out 1 Samuel chapter 20. And I'm a story person. I can't just go off of scripture. I got to see the story. I got to see it from like beginning to end. And I got to put all the pieces in place. And it's got to line up for me. So bear with me, because I do read the whole chapter. Chapter 20, then David fled from, Noath and Rampha, and went and said to Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before your father, that he seeks my life?" So Jonathan said to him, "But no means you shall not die. By no means you shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing, either great nor small, without first telling me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." Then David took an oath again and said, "Your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes. And he has said, 'Do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved.' But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." So Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you." And David said to Jonathan, "Indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fall to sit with the king to eat. But let me go, that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening. If your father misses me at all, then say, 'David earnestly asked permission of me that he might run over to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family.' If he says thus, "It is well, your servant will be safe. But if he is very angry, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore, you shall deal kindly with your servant. You have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. Nevertheless, if there is iniquity in me, kill me yourself. For why should you bring me to your father?" And Jonathan said, "Far be it from you. For if I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father to come upon you, then I would not tell you. David said to Jonathan, "Who will tell me? Or what if your father answers you roughly?" And Jonathan said to David, "Come and let us go into the field." So both of them went out into the field. Then Jonathan said to David, "The Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded my father sometime tomorrow or the third day, and indeed there is good toward David, and I will not sin to you and tell you. May the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you and send you away, that you may go in safety, and the Lord will be with you as he has been with my father. And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David. "Let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies." And Jonathan again caused David to vow, because he loved him. He loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. And when you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed and remain in the stone easel. Then I will shoot 3 arrows to the side of it as though I shot a target. And there I will send a lad going, saying, 'Go find the arrows.' If I expressly say to the lad, 'Look, the arrows are on this side of you,' and get them, and then, as the Lord lives, there is safety for you and no harm. But if I say thus to the young man, 'Look, the arrows are beyond you. Go your way, for the Lord has sent you away.' And as for the matter which you and I have spoken, indeed the Lord will be between you and me forever." So David fled in the field, and when the new moon came, the king sat down to eat the feast. Now the king sat on his seat at the other as at other times on a seat by the wall, and Jonathan arose. And Abner sat by Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought, "Something has happened to him. He is unclean. Surely he is unclean." And it happened the next day, the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, "Why has the son of David not come to eat either yesterday or today?" So Jonathan answered Saul, "David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, 'Please let me go, for our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in your eyes, please let me go away and see my brothers.' Therefore, he has not come to the king's table. Then Saul was angry, as accused against Jonathan. And he said to him, "Your son, a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Now therefore send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die." And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said to him, "Why should he be killed? What has he done?" Then Saul cast a spear at him to kill him, by which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill David. So Jonathan arose from the table in a fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had treated him shamefully. And so it was in the morning that Jonathan went out to the field and appointed with David and a little lad with him. Then he said to his lad, "Now run, find the arrows which I shoot." As the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad had come to the place where the arrow was which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried out after the lad and said, "It is not the arrow. Is not the arrow beyond you?" And Jonathan cried out after the lad, "Make haste, hurry. Do not delay." So Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came back to his master. But the lad did not know anything. Only Jonathan and David knew of the matter. Then Jonathan gave his weapon to his lad and said to him, "Go carry them to the city." Now as soon as the lad had gone, David arose from the place where toward the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed down three times. And they kissed one another, and they wept together. But David more so than Jonathan said, then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. So with that, I'm so sorry. This story does make me cry. But with that, that to me showed so much love between the friendship that Jonathan and David had. Jonathan betrayed his father in that scenario, but he knew that God was with David. And when David first explained to him what his father was up to, Jonathan didn't believe it. He didn't believe it, but he didn't choose just to not believe David and go with the fact that he felt his father would not do that. So, I'm sorry. I do, like I said, I now get emotional. Yes. So, God is really working on my heart. And he showed me that story of betrayal. And it really did something to me. So, I just wanted to express that. And I'm just going to turn over here to 1 Samuel 24, and I'll just give us a synopsis of what happens here. In 1 Samuel 24, this chapter actually shows us where David is in a cave. He's dealing with Saul. Saul is continuously coming after David, wanting to kill him. And this is after, in the beginning, Saul had a liking for David, or at least you thought he did, because David beat the giant, the Goliath, and he assisted Saul in beating the giant. And Saul was happy with the fact that David defeated Goliath. But then soon Saul recognized that David was going to be next in line. He was the one that he had learned about, that God had chosen to be king. So Saul, at that point, wanted to kill David. And he continuously came after David. David would flee. Different things would happen. The Spirit of the Lord would come over Saul. And David would not get killed. But he was constantly coming after David. So at this point in time, David has prayed about it, and he goes into, he's in a cave with his men, and Saul happens to come into that cave, and he has his back to David, and he is relieving himself. He's using the bathroom. And David cuts a piece of his robe. And then as Saul is leaving out of the cave, David comes out behind him and says to him, basically, "I was in their cave when you were in there," letting him know, "I could have killed you, but I did not." And Saul recognized at that point that David, yes, absolutely could have killed him. And he honors David, the fact that he did not kill him. And He said to David that, you know, he thanked him for the man that he was, that David was, and the fact that David did not harm him. And also was looking to David to, I guess, you know, when he did get into place, you know, don't harm my family, basically, is what he said to him. So later, after learning about David, God quickly introduced me to Jesus. I had someone sow a seed in me and give me this book, and she said that when she gave it to me, she wanted to sow a seed, because I was telling her about the book of David or 1 Samuel, and how much I enjoyed reading about David, and how that had changed my life, reading about the story of David. And I said that, you know, I really felt that the Lord wants me to learn to love like him. And, you know, I felt that's big. I don't know what that really requires of me. And I know from where I'm from, it's not going to be easy. So it's a day of work. Each and every day. But she gave me this book and said that she was going to sow a seed, and when I finished reading it, to sow a seed to someone else. But the name of the book is Love Walked Among Us, and it actually walks through Jesus and his teaching and just learning to love like Jesus. And in reading this book, and on the day that Jesus was going to be crucified, I read about how Judas betrayed Jesus. And Jesus knew that he would be betrayed. And he actually, when Judas came to him, and he knew what was happening, and I know he pointed him out during the supper as well, because he gave him the sop, and made it known at that point that he knew he would be betrayed. And Judas came to him and brought the soldiers or the high priest to Jesus, because they really didn't know where Jesus was. But Judas brought the high priest to the place where Jesus was. And Jesus, he didn't, you know, he did not react in a way of anger towards Judas. And that was impressive for me, because the life that I had lived prior to coming to Christ, I would have been angry. I would have focused on the fact that I had been betrayed. But Jesus showed me that no, that's not how we do this. This is not how it's handled. He did say to Judas, "Okay, Judas, you betray me with a kiss? Because Judas let them know, let the soldiers know, that when he got to Jesus, they would know it was him because he would kiss him. So with that, and that's actually in John 13, where it talks about Judas and the betrayal. And I just have to say here, too, that my thought is God knows what troubles us and what brings us joy and happiness. He made each one of us special, and he wants a relationship with each of us. When I think of God that way, I realize he loves me, and he will never leave me. But best of all, I have God's promise that he called me to come to him so I can have eternal life. And when I think about Jesus, and I think about what he went through in his time here on earth with us in a very short time, as I was reading this book, I came to a point that I just want to read a very small piece of. And like I said, I've reading this book, it actually helped me to see a lot of what went on the cross. All right, so he loves to love. When Jesus left this earth to return to heaven, to be with his Father, he promised that he would come again. He likened us return to a groom coming to his bride. At the wedding feast where he welcomes his bride, his followers, Jesus describes what he will do. Excuse me. He will dress himself to serve. We'll have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. So he's saying his guest will be there and he will serve his guest at his own wedding. And this is in Luke chapter 12, verse 37. So Jesus wants to serve at his own wedding, set the table, replenish the drinks, and show us the dessert tray. Jesus is nothing if not consistent. Even at the end, he is drawn to the low place. He loves to love. And that, to me, is a description of who Jesus, God, our Lord, wants me to be. And that is all I have. Thank you. That's it. I just have one song. I'm just going to play just a bit of it, not all of it.
With Jesus, falling in love. With Jesus, falling in love. With Jesus, was the best thing I've ever, ever done. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever, ever done.